In the Acts of the Apostles, we have all these amazing miracles that the apostles are doing as they're spreading the faith and the church is growing and they're trying to get people to believe. But I think the greatest miracle happens in today's reading. It says, even priests became obedient. Right? That shows that something serious was going on. Even priests were becoming obedient. No, everyone, my homily today is going to be about Jesus, which seems obvious, but that was what came to me as I was preparing. He said, talk about Jesus, and I thought, well, that's a kind of a simplistic answer, Lord, for what do I preach on? But I think what comes down to it is when Jesus approaches the disciples today, he says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Right, he's pointing to this fact that one of the great obstacles to the spiritual life is discouragement, that we lose heart. And perhaps the reason is, at least often for me, it's because we tend to do a lot of navel gazing. We tend to look at ourselves a lot and not look at Jesus that much. And so it's sort of simple, pay attention to Jesus more. And discouragement doesn't set in as much. And so what does Jesus do? What does he say to the apostles after he tells them this? Do not let your hearts be troubled. He does two things. First of all, he affirms in the disciples what he's already done for them. Right? So at the very beginning he says, you have faith in God. Have faith also in me. Right? He says, pay attention to what I've already worked in you. The graces I've already bestowed upon you. All the good things I've done for you. You have faith in God. But then from that, right, I'm going to move you forward. But have faith also in me. And so, what's the thing that God has already done in your heart? What's the grace that, or graces, right? Many graces that God has already worked in you. And those things, everyone, those become a source of encouragement to follow what he's calling you to next. They keep our hearts from being troubled. Say, yeah, I have faith in God. I can do this next thing that Jesus is calling me to. Because why? Because Jesus, it makes very clear, he wants to accomplish that work in you. And the primary actor going on there, I mean, you have to cooperate. The primary actor, though, is Jesus, right? If I go and prepare a place for you, he says, I'm going to come back and I'm going to take you to myself. Right? It's a very Jesus-centered activity. I'm going to take you to myself so that where I am, you also may be. Right? The second thing Jesus does, and this happens with Philip, right? It's very interesting. He says, Jesus, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. And Jesus looks at Philip and he says, Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Like, Jesus had already given Philip and the disciples what he asked for. It's sort of like, remember the elder son from the prodigal son, right? Father, you haven't given me anything. Everything I have is yours. Right? Sometimes it's like Jesus has already, in a sense, every grace, he's already given it to us. He's not holding anything back. But for whatever reason, there's a lot of reasons, we have not received it yet. Right? But like Philip, we make our prayer, Jesus, show us the Father. Jesus, grant me this grace. He's like, I've already given it. But he wants to remove the things that keep us from receiving. Right? Perhaps we've not received that thing because, as I said before, we like to do navel gazing. Right? I think, at least for me, I feel like we're better at looking at what we lack. The graces and virtues or things, material things that we don't have, rather than becoming aware of what we have, right? That grace that Jesus wants to affirm, that he's already given, that draws us deeper into the life of God. And so I want to teach you a prayer today. It's a prayer called, some of you are familiar with it, it's called the Examine Prayer. It's not the examination of conscience, right? That's where we identify our sins, where we've failed to follow the Lord. This is called the Examine. And essentially what it is you stop for a few minutes. You ask the Holy Spirit to help you see Jesus. Say, Holy Spirit, be with me during this time. Help me see where you're working. And then you go over the last 24 hours. More than that, it's hard to remember, right? You go over the last 24 hours, and you're just asking the Holy Spirit to show you where God was working. And so sometimes it's obvious things, right? I needed help at work, but I was afraid to ask, and then somebody came up and said, hey, is there something I can do for you? Yes. Right, Jesus answered that prayer. Very clear. But sometimes it's the word freedom. When I look back 24 hours and I think, where was I free? Where did I experience freedom? I think that's where Jesus was working. That's where Jesus was. Right? And the more we see that place, right, the more our hearts are built up. We're free from discouragement. We say, ah, God is working, right? Because it's hard to see it in the moment. We're busy and the day's busy. But you look back and you say, God was all over the place. And so why would he not do that in the next 24 hours? Right? And then our hearts are built up. And then the Christian life, right? The yoke becomes easy and the burden light and joyful. Right? We become what St. Peter says in the second reading, to be built into a spiritual house, to become a holy priesthood. A holy priesthood, right? That's what Jesus wants to draw us into. And so I invite you to try and make that prayer sometime today or tomorrow, that Examine Prayer, looking back, right? And I think you'll experience the encouragement of Jesus. So that, as St. Peter also says, we may announce the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light.